Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka, where it's 48 degrees, overcast, light rain falling this morning. It's Wednesday, October 12th, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Mike Reif is now a member of the Sitka Assembly. Reif was sworn into office last night along with incumbents Pete Esquiro and Phyllis Hackett. The three won their offices during last week's municipal election. Esquiro and Hackett returned to seats they've already occupied. Reif previously served on the Assembly from 1991 until 1994.
It was 20 years ago that I was on this body, and your chairs are more comfortable, your mics are more sophisticated, and it's good to be back.
Reif and Esquiro both will serve three-year terms. Hackett will serve 1 year, having come in third place as a write-in candidate in the election. Reif replaces Larry Cruz on the Assembly, who chose not to run for a second term. Cruz was elected in 2008. The Sitka Assembly could depart from its practice in recent years when it comes to declaring a sales tax holiday. During a discussion at their regular meeting last night, Assembly members signaled that the practice of waiving sales taxes for a couple of days on Thanksgiving weekend could be reduced to 1 day or even moved to a different weekend. Assembly member Pete Esquiro said he also wonders whether the city has enough money to continue sales tax holidays, even though he's always been a fan of the practice.
They're a good thing for, you know, first stimulating business and all this, but I don't know if we start getting down to counting dollars instead of hundreds of thousands of dollars and all this, you know, when do we say no?
Mayor Cheryl Westover said she doesn't think the city can afford 2 days, but that encouraging people to shop in town during the holidays is important. Assembly member Mim McConnell recommended moving the holiday away from Thanksgiving weekend.
Because the sales are going to be high that weekend anyway. That's just, I mean, it is all over the place. And that's traditionally, that's when people go shopping, there's great sales and that kind of thing. So it ends up costing the city a lot of money that weekend. So it might be better to do a sales tax holiday the following weekend.
Assemblymember Terry Blake, meanwhile, said the tax holiday is a vital thing for the city to do for its businesses.
As much money as we give away at this table, we need to show that we care about our businesses in Sitka, and we need to support them. And I think this is a little piece to pay by giving them 2 tax-free days to show them that we want them to succeed.
The Assembly took no action. Making the tax holiday happen will require an ordinance. McConnell will sponsor a measure with another Assembly member and bring it back to the next meeting for possible action. Property in Sitka's Benchlands neighborhood could be on sale before the end of the year. At its regular meeting last night, the Sitka Assembly authorized the sale of 9 lots along Jacob Circle in what's called the Whitcomb Heights neighborhood. The city purchased the Benchlands for more than $3 million back in 2007 with the hope of developing the area into lots for sale. The lots approved for sale last night represent about a sixth of the entire Benchlands project. Assemblymember Terry Blake wanted to know whether the city will lose money on the project. City Finance Director Jay Sweeney said the total development cost of the entire Benchlands from the time of purchase to today is $9.7 million. That total includes grant money and large expenses such as a water tower. Information was not immediately available last night on how much the Jacobs Circle area cost to develop. If each of the 9 lots sold for their minimum bid price, they would bring in a total of $1.1 million. The question remains where exactly in the city accounts that money should go. Sweeney said written minutes from the time of the sale don't appear to show any guidance from the Assembly on the matter, but that he's heard the plan was to fully reimburse the general fund and the city's enterprise funds. City staff are expected to start reviewing videos of the earlier meetings today to get more information. The lots could go out to bid as early as mid-December. The Assembly, meanwhile, has asked for a recommendation on what to do with the money from the lots at its next meeting. The Alaska Mental Health Trust is looking to swap thousands of acres of land with the U.S. Forest Service, and it's hoping to do so with the blessing of a regional group of Tongass National Forest stakeholders. The trust presented its plan to the Tongass Futures Roundtable, a group of stakeholders representing communities, organizations, and tribal governments throughout southeast Alaska at the roundtable's meeting in Sitka yesterday. KCAW's Ed Ronco reports.
The Alaska Mental Health Trust owns more than 60,000 acres of land in southeast, not counting a massive tract on Icy Cape. It's required by law to get the most value it can out of those lands and then use that money to support Alaskans with mental illnesses. Oftentimes, getting value out of the lands involves logging. But much of the land it owns is situated near populated areas in southeast Alaska, which makes it unsuitable for logging because it would disrupt view sheds or even pose safety risks. For example, residents in Petersburg's Mitkoff Highway Homeowners Association are worried that logging of Mental Health Trust lands near the road could lead to more landslides.
We recognized the concerns that the communities in southeast Alaska have about harvesting timber on these lands.
That's Greg Jones, executive director of the Trust Land Office, which has been around since 1994. He says since then, 1994, they've been trying to figure out how to meet their requirement to get value from the land while still respecting community uses and the land's proximity to people's backyards.
What's gelled over the last 5 years has been a proposal to trade the lands with the Forest Service for other lands that could be logged without having the impact on the major communities that are currently that are backed by those lands.
So the Mental Health Trust is offering tens of thousands of acres to the Forest Service. In Sitka, those parcels include a large tract along Catlian Bay and a piece of land near Mount Verstovia. More tracts are near Ketchikan, both north of town and on Gravina Island. The Mitkoff Highway tract near Petersburg would also be under Forest Service control, as would a narrower piece of land south of Wrangell. Other possibilities include lands near Skagway, Juneau, and Myers Chuck. The proposal met with interested caution at Tuesday's meeting of the Tongass Futures Roundtable. Some said the idea of a land swap makes perfect sense. Others said they felt the same way, but they worried about what would happen to the land the trust received. How would it be logged? Would the jobs be sustainable? Lindsay Ketchell is executive director of the Southeast Alaska Conservation Council and a member of the roundtable.
I feel that the urban communities that were identified clearly have areas that don't make sense to log. So let's pull ourselves out of there. But I'm also equally concerned to figure out where will that solution set be, because most likely it'll be on Prince of Wales. And we really have to find that balance there.
Ketchell says it's important to look at the volume of logging that's already occurred on Prince of Wales Island.
Can we really create some timber opportunities there? I described value-added options versus wholesale export. Can we create some jobs? And can we spread it around where in the least ecologically, you know, challenging areas? Is there some solution space there? And I'm encouraged that we're going to be searching for that solution here.
The plan is to handle the swap at the administrative level, which is relatively faster than going through Congress. But even then, Tongass National Forest Supervisor Forrest Cole says it's a 64-step process. At the moment, there's no formal proposal, and the Forest Service hasn't come up with the lands it would be willing to exchange with the trust. In fact, Cole says the first step is simply to agree to initiate the process, to agree to take the first step. Again, Greg Jones from the Mental Health Trust.
It would be blindingly fast if it were done in 2.5 years. More likely it'll take 3 to 5 years to get it completed.
So it probably won't happen quickly. But Jones says it will happen out in the open, and that is why he's seeking the blessing of the Tongass Futures Roundtable.
It's going to be a public process. So we're going to involve all the communities that we impact. The roundtable offers an opportunity to have a single voice representing those communities if the communities want it. Now, in addition to the roundtable, we will be talking to each of the communities individually.
Those individual meetings could be important to communities like Wrangell and Petersburg, whose leaders are among those who withdrew their membership in the roundtable earlier this year. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
In a development that came something as a surprise at yesterday's Tongass Futures Roundtable, the Campion Foundation announced that the roundtable's four major funders were pulling back some of their financial support for the group. KCAW's Ed Ronco was at the meeting. He reports that the move is regarded as a natural result of the contraction of the roundtable.
So there are four foundations that fund the Tongass Futures Roundtable, and in the last year, the membership of the roundtable has dropped significantly, including a pullout by the state government and the leaders of many communities around Southeast. So because of that, the funders have decided that, A, the functions of the roundtable aren't as broad as once they were, and, B, the purpose of the roundtable isn't really the same anymore. So they're pulling back funding. Now, A dollar amount is harder to pinpoint because each of the foundations fund the roundtable individually, and they all make their own decisions. So you'd have to get in touch with all of those foundations one by one in order to find out exactly what the plan is. But the one person I talked to, John Daly of the Campion Foundation, says it's his understanding that the changes in funding aren't going to have a negative impact on the roundtable because the scope has shrunk. So he kind of framed it as a natural evolution of money. You have less to do, you need to spend less.
KCIW's Ed Rocco reporting from the Tongass Futures Roundtable meeting at Harrigan Centennial Hall yesterday. The second and final day of the roundtable's fall meeting begins at 8 a.m. this morning with breakfast, followed by public comment at 9. Two Ketchikan hikers were rescued after spending a night in the elements. Alaska State Troopers say Caitlin Retke and Nicholas Skubina, both 24, were found by searchers at about 8 a.m. on Monday. Troopers took a call Sunday night that the two were overdue from a hike on Carlana Lake Trail. The Ketchikan Volunteer Rescue Squad organized a search and located the pair. They were not injured, but reported to be very cold. Searchers requested a helicopter to pick up the hikers because of their distance from the trailhead. Alaska's senior senator voted to kill President Barack Obama's jobs plan yesterday, saying it's not the solid, comprehensive plan our country needs. Senator Lisa Murkowski was among 46 Republicans and two Democrats voting against advancing the jobs bill. Alaska's Democratic Senator Mark Begich voted in support. Begich said the American people have made clear that they want something done to create jobs and jumpstart the economy. He said members of Congress can't continue to stall progress simply to make a political statement. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for rain, highs around 49, light winds becoming south 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.